I'm going to be reading tonight from the book of Esther. Esther chapter number 4. Thank you for coming. May God bless you. I realize some are going to be away. Some of the revival, some evenings of the revival. Some away on the weekend, but come every time you can, and may God bless you, everyone. Hallelujah. Let me give a little background. When you find that chapter, Esther chapter 4, the nation of Babylon, the third power to rule the known world, as we studied on Wednesday night Bible study, had been defeated by the Medes and the Persians, and Daniel prophesied that it would happen that way. And remember this, when God gives a prophecy, it will always happen just like God says. If it's God, it will take place. And so the Babylonians had been defeated by the Medes and the Persians, and soon after that, a decree was made by Cyrus that the Jews could return to the homeland, that the captivity was now over, and they were free to go back home, and it was a day of rejoicing and of good news. But we're told that some of those that had been in captivity, they did not desire to go back home. Jerusalem had been destroyed, and Judea had been overrun, and there was a lot of discussion back there, and so many that had been in captivity had married and had homes and families and jobs, and they decided we would stay in Babylon. Under the dominion of the Medes and the Persians, we'll stay there and not go home. And the Bible lets us know that, according to the Bible, the events that are outlined in the book of Esther take place some 25 years after the decree had been made by Cyrus that they were privileged to go back home. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of background, and we're going to read the scripture to you in a moment. Esther had been born during the captivity. Her mom and dad had died. She's an orphan. She has a cousin by the name of Mordecai. And so he takes care, he takes the picture under his wing, and he looks after her and protects her and takes care of her. And there came a time, the Bible lets us know, that he's become a minor official in the courts of the Medes and the Persians. But there's something in this book of Esther that maybe you've never noticed before. There are three peculiarities. Number one, there are 9 chapters. That's not peculiar. God's not mentioned one time. Prayer is not mentioned one time. And there's nothing having to do with Christian or with religious training or teaching in the entire book. That seems very odd. And because of what I've just told you, when they came to get the various writings to bring them together for the Bible, seeking God, believing God, the Old Testament scriptures have been written. Later on, the New Testament scriptures have been written, and now they have these before them and so many other writings. And there are people tonight that believe that Esther, because there's no mention of God, and there's no mention of prayer, and there's nothing about religious training or teaching, that Esther should not be in the sacred scriptures. It should be left out. There are evangelicals that believe that. Fundamentalists that believe that. Let me read something with you tonight. I'm confident, if you'll read the book of Esther, you'll see the goodness of God. And you'll see the mercy of God. And you'll see the love of God. You can see God's handiwork. And all that goes on, He's in control. I believe that God, the Holy Ghost, will allow you to see between the lines and see God right in every page. Amen, amen. And I find that might not be long tonight, but I find that in the course of time, after the Medes and Persians have come to power, and Ahasuerus is the king of the Medes and the Persians. One of his names is Ecstasies, so that's one of the titles. He's the king, and he's having problems in the home, and he divorces his wife. She doesn't do what he likes for her to do, and so he leaves her, he divorces her, gets her out. And the Bible tells us that he finds someone else to replace his wife, At those divorce home, he finds Esther, a Jewish maiden. And he marries her, and she becomes the queen of the Persians and the Medes. And the Bible says in the course of time, with Esther now the queen, so many Jews have remained behind in the provinces of the king of the Medes and the Persians, that something happened to a man by the name of Haman that was a member of the king's cabinet. I'm not going to go into detail about how Esther was chosen, nor am I going into detail about Haman. But he had hatred in his heart towards the Jews. Let me just stop right there. He's from Persia. He's an Iranian. Do you know the Iranians in my still don't care much for the Jews? They would like to wipe them off the map. And Haman decided, I've got a plan, I'll come up with a plan, I'm going to destroy all the Hebrews, all the seed of Abraham, all the Jews in the provinces of Artaxerxes, or Exorcies, or Ahasuerus. We'll put them all to death. And when the word came to Mordecai, he sent word to his cousin, the queen, Esther. Something let me just say it this way. Esther, you've got to do something. You must stand up. You must speak up. You must do all that you can, because the decree has been made that at a certain day all the Jews in the provinces of the king is going to be destroyed. You must do something. You must do what you can. Let me just stop right there. Do you know we have the same thing from God? If you're a Christian tonight, we need to do what we can. We have a mandate from the globe of going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tell them everywhere you go, talk about Jesus. Tell the world that Jesus saves. The world is dying, like I'm going to say. The world is dying out there. They're looking for something in the act of Jesus. Do something. Only thing I said, you must stand up, you must speak up. Do what you can. And I'm saying tonight, God, help us to do what we can. Help us to pray in your revival comes. Amen. Stand there till the Holy Ghost begins to move. Do what you can for the glory of God. Do what you can to get people to revival. Do what you can to win the lost. Do what you can for your family members. Pray, pray, pray. If they go the other way, keep on praying. Amen, amen. Do something, Esther. I want you to notice this. Mordecai didn't say, Esther, if you fail us, we're goners. He didn't say that you're the only hope we've got. If you don't do something, there's nothing out there. I'm going to read from that chapter 4. I'm going to read 3 verses from chapter number 4. 12, 13, and 14. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Esther said, I can't go. Let me stop right there. Esther said, I cannot go before the king. I know I'm the queen, but I haven't been called before the king for some time. And if I were to go before him without being called, I would be putting my life in jeopardy and I could be put to death. Therefore, I cannot go. I'll read the 12th verse, and they told to Mordecai Esther's words, and then Mordecai had commanded to answer Esther, think not that thyself, with thyself, that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. There's a lot of sermon material in those 3 verses. I'm not going to preach on the slides, the last word that I read. But let me just say this tonight. I have no reservation telling you what I'm going to say now. I believe that God has us here for a time such as this. Amen. I don't believe we've come together in this manner tonight just happenstance. I don't believe it's just luck. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe it just happened. I think God has had a hand in it. who knows of what God has brought us together, the revival for America, for Hampton, for Virginia, at a time such as this. He said, Brother Jones, that's quite a mouthful, that's quite big up there. We're serving a big God. He said, we say he can do anything. I believe that. Thank God, thank God. You've heard of the story of Betty Baxter having God healed her. A girl that was 13 years of age that had never walked in her life. How did God heal her in a moment's time? And they lived out in the country. And when the word got out that Betty Baxter had been healed, and they had a traffic jam that Sunday night at church, finding out that Betty Baxter was going to be there and give a testimony. Out in the country there, I believe it. The people, when God goes to move it, people will go where God is.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Esther said, I can't go. Mordecai, I said, but who knows, Esther, but what you have come? You've been selected as the queen. Who knows but what God has had a hand in this to bring you to the place where you can be an instrument in the hands of God. But I'm not going to preach about that tonight. Something else here that I want to bring to our attention. In the 13th verse, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. If you don't stand up, Esther, if you don't go before the king, if you don't realize that your life is at stake and maybe it will cost you your life, I want you to know, Esther, you might not go, but I want you to know that God is going to give deliverance to his people. Let me leave this with you tonight. I believe that Mordecai knew something about the prophets of old. What God has said to the prophets, he knew that what God has said to Abraham over 1,000 years earlier, 1,500 years earlier, God has said to Abraham, out of your seed I'm going to bless all the nations of the world. And now the Jews that are in Persia, they are part of the seed of Abraham. And dying of Mordecai, I say, God cannot allow the Jews to be wiped out because God's going to bless all the nations of the earth through the seed of Abraham. He believed what the disciples of the apostles said, or what the prophet said, when there's going to come a Messiah out of the loins of Jacob, out of the tribe of Judah, there's going to be a Messiah. And that had not yet been fulfilled. And so Mordecai, I realize that since the Messiah has not come, the Jews will have to stay here, hallelujah, to bring the Messiah in. God had a plan. Haman's plan was against God's plan. It's always good to get a God's plan. You can never go wrong by doing right. Staying with that which is right. Hallelujah. And I find how that Mordecai said, who knows? But once you come to this throne for such a time as this, but if you don't go before the king, God's going to work something out. He believed that. He believed that God was going to do something to bring deliverance to the people and the Jews would not be destroyed. And I'm confident tonight, and I'm not a politician, but I'll just throw this in. I believe there are some tonight that believe whatever Iran does and whatever Saudi Arabia does and whatever Yemen does and whatever Syria does and whatever Hezbollah does and whatever all the rest of them do, God's going to have his God's hand in it.
Yes, he does.
Amen, amen. There might be extras out there. There might be this one out there. But they're not going to destroy God's people.
That's right.
They're going to come forth, amen. What do you say, preacher? Mordecai, I said, God will raise up someone, somehow. God will bring deliverance. I believe this tonight. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why all this going on. But I believe God's got his hand on the situation for the bundle of tabernacle. I'm not a Moses, but I prayed a long time for a Joshua. Amen. I have realized for some time that we need revival and we need pastor. And I'm saying that as humbly as I know how. God has been good to us. He has blessed us abundantly as a church and as a family. He's met the needs of our lives. I say this tonight, preaching towards a revival and praying for revival tonight. I believe that God has not only raised us up for this time, for this generation, I believe God's got something in store. And listen closely. If we don't let God use us for revival, he'll use someone else.
That's right.
And I want God to use us.
Amen.
I want God to bless us, and He's blessed us in so many ways. Hallelujah. We can stand tonight and praise Him the rest of the night until the sun comes up tomorrow morning and never overdo it and never go too far. He's blessed us over and over and over and over. It is blessed. You raise your hand to heaven and wave the hand to heaven tonight. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Praise God. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, Mordecai, I said, if you will not go, Esther, if you will not go, God will raise up somebody, hallelujah. Somebody's going to bring us out. Somebody's going to bring deliverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Someone's coming to the rescue. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise the name of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. I like that song. God's got someone standing on the sidelines waiting. Hallelujah. If we don't do the job, someone will. Help us, God. Help us to be everything that you'd have us to be. In this last day, Mordecai, I believe what the prophets have said. If you don't go in, Esther, if you hold your peace now, God's going to bring deliverance from some other source. Two things, Mordecai, I believed. He believed that Esther should speak up. It was time for her to do something. It was time for her to do what she could. And I've already mentioned that I'm convinced tonight we have a responsibility as well. Sometimes I think that we push it aside. When I first got saved, I wanted to tell everybody. I want to tell my mother. My wife and I got saved at the same time together, but I wanted to tell my mother, your prayers have been answered, Mama. When I was living in sin, you kept on praying. When I was going the other direction, you kept on praying. When it looked like I would never come to God, maybe it looked like I was getting worse and worse, you kept on praying. I wanted to call and tell her how good God is. Amen. Did you feel the same way? Lord, tell somebody.
Oh, yes.
Tell somebody the goodness of God, the blessings of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe it ought to still be the same way after 50 years.
Yes.
Hallelujah, more so, yes. We sing the song, I love Him better every day. If we do, we ought to share the word, amen. Tell the world about the goodness of God.
Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord, thank the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, what a good God we're serving. God has raised us up for a time like this, and if we don't do what God would have us to do, He will have someone standing in the wings. Whatsoever, Solomon said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all your might, do it with all your might. Do what you can for the glory of God. Do what you can to build the kingdom of God. Do what you can to win the lost. I visited this week, Sister Cousin, Caroline, Goldie, and Brother Bill. Brother Bill was at home. He said to have care daily from his daughter. Two of these were in the nursing home and one was in the hospital. And as I went and my wife went with me a time or two there and we went to visit, let me share this with you. Sister Goldie sits in a wheelchair right there when she comes on Sunday morning. He's either 96 or 97. Caroline is 80-something, 85 or 6 or something like that. Sister Cousin is in the same, she's 86 or 87. Brother Bill, same age. When I went to visit, my wife and I went to visit Brother Bill, this is what he said. I've not been able to come to church now for weeks, and it just seems like a year. But so every night I pray for the church. And then he said this, and I pray for everyone in my neighborhood, and I don't even know them. But I'm praying that they will be ready when the trumpet sounds. I'm not able to go visit. He cannot even walk around his yard anymore. He was here this morning for the first time in quite a while. He cannot do anything. He's on oxygen all the time now, and he has to have so much care all the time. But he said, I pray, I can't get out, and I can't ride, I can't do anything, but I pray every night for the church. And I'm praying for my neighborhood. When the trumpet sounds, although I don't know the name, I want them to be ready to go. I thought, thank God, thank God. We can all do something. I went to visit Caroline. Caroline has been in the hospital and then in the nursing home. My wife and I went to visit her. When I went to visit her first in the hospital and then we went to the nursing home.
Caroline said, and she was out of it. I mean, she was not feeling it at all. But she said, guess what? I was able to testify what God gave me the vision of the Lord Jesus in the foyer. I thought if you had an opportunity, I knew you would. And she did. And she said, the lady, and then listen to her tell the story. How then the lady was blessed by it. And she said, the lady said, I'm going to come back and visit you again. Praise God. Praise God. Anyway, she said, Sister Goldie. Sister Goldie said, there was a woman that came in. She had just been in the hospital just a day. She said, there was a woman that came in, a black woman that came in, and she was so nice. And Sister Goldie said, I told her my testimony. Sister Goldie was in the insane asylum. She had gotten away from God. She was living in sin. She thought she could do her own thing. She ended up in a mental institution. And she prayed. And she cried out to God, God, if you save me, if you save me, forgive me, and get me out of here, I serve and I tell the people about you. 96 or 97 years old in the hospital, looking very bleak there for a while, doing much better now. When I went to visit Goldie, she said, I told this lady my testimony. She said she's coming back to visit. Caroline told the lady what God has shown her out there. Let me tell you something tonight. You can't get too old to talk about Jesus. Some people said, Brother George, why didn't God leave me here? Why didn't God, Brother Sister, cousin said, after Claude, she said, Claude's gone off and left there. We were pregnant, we would go together, and now I feel like he's left me alone. Why does he leave me here? I said, Sister Cousin, as long as he left you here, there's a reason for it. As long as you live, you can serve the goodness of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and here is Mordecai. As he sang these words to his cousin, Jerusha, how that God had blessed and how God has saved him. Let me use here three illustrations. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and that last week before he was crucified on the cross of Calvary, the Bible said the people were worshiping and praising aloud, and some of those standing around about were upset. They didn't want them to be loud in their praises. They didn't want them to cry out like that. And they told the Lord about it. They told they were unhappy about it. And the Bible, Jesus said these words similar to this. He said, if they do not praise me, if they do not listen to me, the stones will cry out. The stones will listen to me. Hallelujah. When I was reading that in the Bible, I thought about Brother Jordan the other Sunday when he was preaching in the weekend revival. I was preaching about Rosa Parks during the time of the 60s when she sat down on the bus in the front and they tried to get her to go back in the back of the bus. And she said, no, I'm not going to give up my seat. And he turned to the third chapter of Revelation about the overcomers in the days of the Lord. I will not give up my place next to the throne of God. And because all of that, I've got a seat prepared. I've got a place beside God. I'm not going to give it up for somebody else.
Amen.
I'm not going to allow the stone to get my reward.
Amen.
I'm going to serve him.
Right.
I'm going to live for him.
Right.
I'm going to praise him. Hallelujah. I'm going to worship him. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. Thank God, thank God. They said to the people, you're too loud. You're loud in your worship, you're loud in your praises. And Jesus said, the stones will cry out. Brother, don't let a stone take your place.
No.
Serve God, obey God. Live for God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, you've been so good to us. You've blessed our hearts and our lives. I jotted down another illustration. From the first Samuel chapter 17, a story that everyone knows well, no doubt. There came a time when the nation of Israel was at war with the Philistines. And as Saul got his armies together and across the way in the valley of Elah was the great host of the Philistines, and daily the giant of a man by the name of Goliath, the champion of the enemy, would come down in the valley. He would say all manner of things against God. Let me share this with you now. This is a dangerous thing to talk about God.
Yes, it is.
He's almighty.
Yes.
He bellowed out against God. And the Bible says that Saul and his men were afraid, and they got in the ditches and in the caves. They were hiding. Fear had gripped their hearts. Because this giant of a man had challenged them. send someone out to fight with me, and if he wins, we'll be service to Israel, and if I win, Israel will be service to the Philistines. Mm-hmm. No one was willing to go. I want you to remember what Mordecai said. Esther, if you don't go, God will raise up somebody. Can you imagine, out of all of the peoples in that area, God used a teenager by the name of David. Never been out to battle before in his life. Had killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands. Had the anointing of God. I would rather have the anointing of God than the greatest armies in the world. Thank God, thank God, thank God. When out there, Saul said, put my armor on. You know the story. Put my armor on. He put it on and said to the king, I cannot wear this. This is not me. Well, you can't go out. He said, I'll go out in the name of the Lord. You know the story. He took the sling, picked up five stones out of the valley, out of the brook there, and went out. He'd been down in that valley of Elah, south of Jerusalem. I picked up five stones like David picked up. He put one in the sling, put the others in his purse, a pocket, and went out to meet the giant. And you know the story. How that when the battle was over, the Goliath had died, and David had severed his head, and stood with his foot on his chest, with his head in his hand. Defeated the enemies of God. What is that, people? I'm saying if God will not use one, he'll use another. If we'll not let God have his way in our lives, he'll have someone. You'll have someone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mordecai said, if you don't know Esther, God will give deliverance from some other way. But let me leave this with you. But I believe that Mordecai was saying, but God will give deliverance. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. My wife and I could testify tonight on so many occasions how God has come on the scene when people said there's no hope. Yes. People have mocked and laughed and said there's no hope. It's gone too far. And God comes by. Yes. God comes by and does the work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can see David now. I remember. It's amazing what you can remember when you're a child and can't remember last week. We sat on this side of the church. Isn't that something? My family, when I was raised, we always sat on this side of the church. My daddy and mom sat on about the third bench. And while we were youngsters, we sat in front of them. Then when we got a little older, we sat on the bench with them. And when we got a little older, they let us sit a little further back. They were wise. But I thought, how that I remember. Now, this preacher left in 1941, so that's a long time ago. He was a good preacher. In fact, he became the general treasurer of the denomination and was elected bishop in 1946 of the denomination, Pentecostal Holiness. I remember Brother Hubert Spence, as he was preaching about David, and I can't tell you one other thing that he said, except he got a sling. And he was winding that around his head. And I thought, I don't mean with a stone in it. But he's winding that thing, and all of a sudden, like as if he let go, and how did the giant fell? I can remember Brother Hubert Spence preaching that, and I was so excited about what God has done. Listen closely. God keeps on defeating the enemy. Yes. God will keep on bringing down the giants of the world. Yes. If we'll obey God and serve God. Hallelujah. Yes. If we'll stand up for God. If we'll do what we can for the glory of God. God will use us for his glory. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I mentioned how that of these that I said with you right here, but there's one other that I want to bring to your attention in 2 Kings. It came to pass when Ben-Hadad, the king of the Syrians, gathered all the souls that I mentioned about David and how that God brought down the Syrians and all the rest outside the camp. He brought the situation in the hand. But one more time, in 2 Kings chapter number 6, the Bible says that there was a famine in the land. In fact, there was such a famine that moms and dads were eating their children. That seems gross. I can't imagine. It was a hard time. The Bible said that they was surrounded by the enemy all around the city of Samaria, surrounded God's people. They were starving to death, no food. And the Bible says in that fourth chapter of 2 Kings, there were four leprous Jews at the gate. As they were sitting there, this is what they decided. If we go back into the city, we'll starve to death. If we sit here, we'll die. We'll starve to death. No one's been bringing any food from the town out over the wall to us. They're dying there. They have no food. If we go in the city, we'll die. If the city, we'll die. But if we go out into the camp of the Syrians, maybe we'll die. Possibly we'll die. Likely we'll die. But maybe, maybe, maybe they'll spare us. I want you to go with me right now. Four leprous men stood up. Have you ever seen a leper? Some have part of their face eaten away. The nose is gone. The ear is gone. A hand is partially eaten away. Whatever. They've got a foot that's missing. Leprosy has taken its toll. Can you imagine four leprous men in the night? Can't go back to the city, we'll die. Can't say, here, we'll die. Only hope we've got is going to the camp of the Syrians. And so they stood up. Now I want you to listen to what the Bible says. And while they were going into the camp of the Syrians, maybe begging for mercy, God let the whispers in the night sound like a mighty army. God let those diseased feet, and they were stumbling, maybe with a crutch, going towards the Syrian camp, made it sound like a mighty army of horses and chariots. Amplified it. And the Syrians said, the Israel, they've had some help, and they're coming, and we're afraid. And the Bible says they left their camps, they left their horses, they left their food, they left their tents, they left everything, and they ran. And when the four lepers got in the city, no one was there to hinder them. But they had a smorgasbord. A banquet, yes. They were blessed. Listen closely. Who would have thought that God would bring deliverance from four by four leprous men? Who would think that God would bring deliverance by a young teenager by the name of David? Who would believe such a thing as that? I'm here to tell you tonight, if we do not let God use us, God will somehow have somebody that He'll raise up for His glory, and that will win the lost and build the kingdom of God. I believe that. I believe God's got us here for a purpose. Amen, amen. We're praying for revival. We're believing for revival. Now all God wants us to do is receive the revival.
That's right.
Believe for it and receive. Thank God, thank God, thank God. God, you've been so good to us. You've blessed us in so many ways, and I'm going to close out in a moment of a sermon. 925 years later, after those four leprous men went into the city of Samaria, and God gave them abundance. A deacon by the name of Philip left Jerusalem, and he went to the same city of Samaria. And I'll tell you why he went. He went because there was something burning in his heart. He wanted to see revival. I want you to listen. I cannot find in the Bible that Philip had any credentials of being an apostle. I can't find in the Bible that Philip had any credentials from any church, ordination, or minister's license. He's a deacon. And the Bible says, if something was burning in his heart, some desire of the Spirit of God moving in his life, he wanted to see souls saved. And with that burning desire in his soul, he went to Samaria. And I'm going to wind up. Samaria was not the best place for Jews to go. The Samaritans hated the Jews, and the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. But when you get saved, brother, everybody's wonderful. Everyone is worthy of being preached to and shared the gospel with. I don't care who they are and how they treated you and what they said and what they've done. Everyone is precious in the eyes of God. And Philip went down to Samaria, and he preached unto them. And the Bible said they had revival. I know they have revival because these are the words that it says, and there was great joy in that city. If it's not the joy of serving God, it's an empty joy. The joy of this world will fade away and be gone. But the joy bells of heaven can ring in your heart every day of your life. Thank God, the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's joy in serving God. I'm not serving God. It's not just because there's a heaven out there. I'm serving God because I love Him. Amen. He's done so much for me. Amen. I must serve Him. I must live for Him. Hallelujah. He's been a good God. Amen. 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 If we were to stand up and worship Him the rest of the night with our hands raised high, we would never even begin to start with what God has done. Philip went down to Samaria and preached the devil's revival. Now, I'll leave this with you. Come on to the piano, honey. We're going to pray. That was revival. One thing that Philip wanted, he wanted to share the Word of God. Without hearing the Word, there's no salvation. It takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God for a man to be saved.
That's right.
He went to share the Word of God. I mentioned how that Caroline shared the Word of God. The vision that God showed her in that foyer on Sunday morning. Remember, she was not raised in church. She was 80 years old. She hadn't been inside of a church for 35 years when she came here. Knew nothing of the Bible. Knew nothing of praying. Nothing. But we met her in the restaurant and got to talking to her about church. And one Sunday after they'd been there a while, he said to her, "It's her son. I want to go to the front." You know why she came to the front? She felt like, if I can go to the front, that's where I'll accept Christ. I want to go down to the front. She could have accepted Christ back there.
Yeah.
But remember, she knew nothing.
Right.
She wanted to get up here close where people come around the altar. And right there, she made a commitment to God. What are you saying, preacher? People are dying to hear the Word.
Yes, they are.
They're hungry to hear something real.
Yes,
and Philip went down to Samaria to preach the Word. You and I have been giving out flyers, and we've been talking about revival. The young man that sat here today promised to be in the revival if he possibly can get here because he's got the radiation treatment on Friday. He goes to church. That's some others that promised me they're coming to the revival. Some of you have given out flyers. Some have said they want to come. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. And if they don't come, pray that somebody that does come will get saved.
Yes.
Pray that God will give revival. Pray for Brother Ochoa that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will be upon his ministry.
Yes.
Pray for the people that God will anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Pray for everything, for the choir and the choir director and the musicians and all the people. Pray for one another. God is going to move.
Yes.
Well, say, I believed. God's going to give a move of the Spirit. God's going to take care. And God did. We'll finish the story some other time, maybe, but God came to the rescue. Aren't you glad He came to your rescue?
Yes, I am.
Aren't you glad He's still God? Aren't you glad tonight He still has all power?
Yes.
And when somebody fails over there, God's got someone else, amen. God's got someone else that'll step in. Thank God, thank God. Will you stand together with me? Philip went down to some man.